Thank you, Bill, and for that permission to go overtime from Bill Whitley. Did you hear that? He didn't really give me permission, did he? Okay. I'm just hoping. Okay, good morning. It's a blessing to be here with you today and have the opportunity to share with you from God's Word. I trust that it'll be a time of blessing as the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and brings it to the heart of the people of God. And also any who may be here this morning that do not know the Lord Jesus, we trust that today you will hear the things that the Spirit of God will use in your life to change your life forever. We're going to be picking up this morning in Luke chapter 8. We've been looking through the book of Luke on the Sunday mornings when I've been speaking, and we've been seeing there the Luke's presentation of the perfect human being as he presents the Lord Jesus. And also we're seeing that as he wrote to Theophilus in verse 4 of chapter 1 of this gospel, giving his purpose for writing, he was writing that Theophilus and others may know the certainty of the things in which we and they have been instructed. See, so it's all about making sure. That was Luke's heart. You see, Luke was a medical doctor. And Luke knew the importance of facts. And when you go to the doctor, you want the facts. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if you want to get well, you want the facts. Okay? And that's what Luke wanted to present. And he presented eyewitness accounts. And we're seeing that here in Luke 8 and going on into Luke 9 as well. And if you missed last Sunday morning, if you weren't here, we're going to kind of pick up as a continuation. We'll do a very quick review to get going with that. If you're here last Sunday morning, you heard about Uncle Drew, whether you know him or not. Uncle Drew, you can see he's kind of, he's the guy on my left there, on your left. Got a little pouch there, a pooch or whatever you want to call it. White hair, a beard, looks like an old geezer guy. But we see that he decided to school the young bloods. Oh yeah, that's him. That's Uncle Drew up there hanging on the rim, you see. Look at that guy going, whoa. And look at him in the next picture. He's going, oh my goodness. Who is this guy? Who is this old man up there doing the hang time and dunking the ball? And these guys are going, wow. Who is this guy out here? He's in a playground in New Jersey, and they're thinking, man, who is this guy? Who is this man? Well, that's a good question. A good question, not only for the playgrounds of New Jersey, but a good question really for everyone. Not just when we see an old-looking guy hitting three-pointers and being able to dunk it and stealing the ball from the young guys, but you know what? It's even more of a valuable question when we look at the scripture and we see the Lord Jesus. I'm going to ask you to look there in verse 25 of chapter 8. We've already covered this, but we're using this really as a springboard as the disciples were there on the Sea of Galilee and a storm came down and the Lord Jesus was awakened and he spoke to the wind and the raging waves and they ceased and there was calm. And look at verse 25. Here's his response to his disciples. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." Who can this be? Or who is this man? Who is this man who has the power over the wind and the waves? Who is he? We talked a little bit last week, just to get you back up to speed, on power having two aspects, both the authority and the ability are a part of power. Right and might. Here's the policeman we looked at last week. He's got the right to make an arrest, but he doesn't have the power, he doesn't have the might to do that because he's in the hospital. Well, here's a guy who's got plenty of might, he can pull a jet plane, but he doesn't have the right, he doesn't have the authority to make an arrest. But then you got this fella, he's got not only the authority as a law enforcement officer, he's got the might. He's got the ability. Now the Lord Jesus is the one who has power. And the question is, who is this man? Who is this man who has power over danger, who was able to stop the wind and the waves, and they were in jeopardy, we read there in the passage in verse 23. They were in danger, but the Lord, He is the one, Jesus of Nazareth, He has power over danger. We also saw in the second part of our scripture from verses 26 to 39 that He has power over demons. He has power over the devil and all of his host. Who is this man who has ability and authority even over disease, as we looked in verses 43 to 48? As He healed by a touch, not His own touch touching her, but her touching the hem of His garment. The tassels on His garment, she touched in faith, and she was healed of a disease she'd had for 12 years and had spent all of her money going to physicians, and none of them could do anything about it. Who is this man? Who is this man? He sleeps in a boat. He's a regular man. He eats meals. He's a regular man. Or is he a regular man? Who is this who has power over danger, over demons, over disease? We use as an illustration of that power over disease of Brother Jeray Swope. And he's here this morning, and he did get that report back, that pathology report, that what was called cancer and that he and others, including us, prayed would not be cancer. Guess what? It's not cancer. Again, like we said, God's not going to do that every time. That's not His will. But it was His will then. And it was prayer and faith. He has ability. He has authority. But we're going to continue this morning, starting in verse 42, and we're going to see a good question. Who is this man who has power over death? Go back again to verse 40. We broke up the story because Luke breaks up the story here with the woman with the issue of blood. But we're going to go back to verse 40. So it was when Jesus returned. This is coming back across the Sea of Galilee. We'll look at a map in just a moment, but back across the Sea of Galilee to the area of Capernaum. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged Him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Then we have the interruption, but we're going to pick back up with this narrative in verse 49. While He, the Lord Jesus, was still speaking, that's speaking to the woman who had been healed, while He was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to Him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, He answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When He came into the house, He permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but He said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed Him, knowing that she was dead. But He put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and He commanded that she be given something to eat, and her parents were astonished. But He charged them to tell no one what had happened. Who is this man who has power even over death? We look at the top of our map and we see the blue there, that's the Sea of Galilee. And the Lord Jesus had come from the area of Gadara there in the southeast and had gone back across the lake to the area of Capernaum up in the northwest there on the map. And as He comes back, He's received. They're waiting for Him. And there as He walks along, Jairus, who is a ruler, a leader of the Jewish people in the local synagogue where the Jewish people would gather together and have their meetings and look into the Old Testament and have that read and explained and where they would come together to fellowship. He comes down and He falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. and asking the Lord Jesus, I just have one little girl. She's only 12 years old, and she's dying. You see, this little girl had lived as long as the other woman had had that disease, 12 years. But now the little girl was dying. We don't know what her problem was, but we know that the dad was concerned. You know, I've just got one daughter. She's older than 12 now, but my heart goes out to him as he comes and pleads, please, will you come, my daughter? She's dying. But before he's able to get there, or before he gets there, not before he's able to get there, but the Lord Jesus starts that way and gets interrupted. And we find that someone comes from Jairus' home and said, it's too late. She's dead. She's already died. Don't bother the teacher. He might as well go on and minister to someone else. Well, the Lord Jesus goes anyway. And he arrives there at the house, and there are already mourners there, probably some sincere of their hearts, friends and family, others possibly paid mourners who've come in to weep and to wail with the family. But the Lord Jesus goes in to the room of the little girl. He takes the parents. He takes Peter and James and John. The Lord Jesus has commented out in the first room of the house, don't cry, she's not dead, she's only sleeping. That is the perspective of deity. You see, we read in the scripture, Luke makes it very clear, he's a medical doctor, and we're going to see here in a minute that her spirit had departed her body. But you see, this is no ordinary man. This is a man with power over death. And he is able to look at a dead body and say, she's sleeping. She's sleeping. And then he demonstrated his power. Little girl, arise. And we read there that her spirit returned to her. And she gets up. She gets up. Who is this man? Who is this man who has power over death? There are people who are mocking and ridiculing him as he comes in. In the middle of their supposed mourning, they take time to mock this man who comes in, but they don't realize that he has power over death. But he does. The parents, on the other hand, patiently believe. Can you imagine what must have been going on in their hearts? Their only little girl, 12 years old, they've just watched her die. The mom's watched her die. The dad has been off trying to get help, but she's lying there dead. But then she gets up, and they are amazed. You see, the Lord Jesus has power over death. He can raise the dead back to life. We've already seen that in the book of Luke, hadn't we? If you were with us there as we went into the little town of Nain, or right outside the town of Nain, there was a widow with her only son. They were on the way to the graveyard for the funeral. You know, the Lord Jesus has power over death. He can raise the dead to life. And let me tell you something very straight. And this is based on the Word of God and not upon my opinion. One day, the Lord Jesus will raise the dead back to life. Some will be raised to everlasting life. Others will be raised to shame and everlasting contempt. But He will raise the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. He didn't raise every little girl while He was on the earth. He didn't raise up the dead son of every widowed mother while He was on the earth. It was not His will. It was not the Father's will, the Father in heaven. But He will raise to life. This afternoon in this very room, there's going to be a casket right down here where these flowers are. And there's going to be the body of an 82-year-old woman, Thelma Alley. Some of her family's here this morning with us. And we're going to have a time of remembering, and we're going to have a time of rejoicing. And we're going to go out to a grave site, and we're going to stand by a coffin that's going to be lowered into the earth. And there's going to be sadness, but there's going to be joy. Why? Because she had trusted the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And she's going to be raised back to life just like everybody else in that graveyard. But she's going to be raised to everlasting life. There's a joy in that. You see, the power over death that the Lord Jesus has gives us hope when a loved one dies in the Lord. Even if that little 12-year-old girl had not come back to life, those parents could have had hope if their daughter knew the Lord. It was several weeks ago, I guess maybe over a month ago now. One morning I was sitting with a brother. We were having some fellowship and talking, and I got a call from Kim, and we'd had a call that came from Virginia or Northern North Carolina via Massachusetts, and it was about a little boy. It was about a family. You see, this family had one son, one child, 6 years old. You're looking at him right now, picture of him, Grant Fielding Brown from Massachusetts, outside Boston. And on Monday, July the 24th of this year, while he was visiting in the area, attending a supervised day camp down in Raleigh, where swimming was a part of the day, and his dad wrote, "The unthinkable happened." His little body was taken out, put on life support in the pediatric ICU of the North Carolina Memorial Hospital in Chapel Hill, and this dear sister up in Massachusetts, who actually came through our youth group when she was younger from Danville, Virginia, asked if I could go down there. And so this brother and I, Jason and I, we went down there, and, you know, wow, that was some ride. We didn't know these people. We don't know what we're going to face. We walk into that hospital, we get down there, and we stand outside, and those doors open, and that dad comes out. Man, I tell you what, here's a dad. He knows his son's not going to get better. He's accepted that. He's just spent a little time, he and his wife with this little boy. He's just spending some time. And what can we do? All we can do is put our arms around each other and cry and pray and lift them up to the Lord. Here's what his dad wrote. Concerning that day and that evening around 10:45, he said, "Grant left the arms of his parents and grabbed the hand of Jesus and walked right into heaven." He said, "All things do work to the good for those who were called according to his purpose. We believe our God can still change lives today. We're seeing it happen at a very high cost." They said that the Lord Jesus, this one who has power over death, is the only one to whom they would have given up their little boy. They had to let him go. But they were letting him go to the Lord Jesus. You know, this little boy had received the Lord Jesus as his Savior. He had professed to realize that he was a sinner and that the Lord Jesus is the Savior of sinners. And the Lord Jesus died on the cross for his sins. And the Lord Jesus rose again, the one who had taken his punishment. And this little boy, in his six-year-old way and understanding, had believed on the Lord Jesus, was saved. And you know what? Those parents have hope. And I'm sure they're aching this morning. I'm sure they're aching. They're probably sitting in a meeting, something like this, and their hearts are still probably breaking, but they know the one who has power over death, and this is temporary. It's temporary. The Lord Jesus didn't raise Grant physically from the dead. Not yet, but one day He will. Right now, He, as well as Thelma and all others who have died in the Lord, are absent from the body through death, but they're at home with the Lord. And we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul says, "I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep." Asleep. What are you talking about, Paul? Asleep. Yes, the body is asleep. That's the way God sees it. That's His perspective. Now the soul and spirit are very much alive, absent from the body, present with the Lord, rejoicing But that body's asleep. Because one day, the one who has power, authority, ability over death is going to, with a word, raise those bodies back to life. And those bodies of the ones who knew the Lord Jesus, they're going to be made like His glorious body. That is the hope for the Browns. That is the hope for the Alleys. That is the hope for every one of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do as the Lord Jesus told those parents, don't be afraid, only believe. Because He has power over death. How does He have power over death? Because He's the source of life. John 1:4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In John 11:25, the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. In John 14:6, the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who is this man? Can I encourage you this morning to patiently believe? Patiently believe in this man who has power over death. We're impatient. We don't want loved ones to die. We don't want little boys to die. We don't want little girls to die. We've got to be patient. We've got to trust Him. Only believe, He says. Only believe. Who is this man? Who is this man who has power even over death? We want to continue, and we're going to pick up now in the next chapter. And we're going to see that he also has power over disability. Over disability. Let's begin to read here in verse 1 of Luke chapter 9 as we continue to think about this wonderful man and ask this question, who is he? Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. The disciples had been witnessing the power of the Lord Jesus, their teacher, their mentor. They had watched Him as He showed authority and ability over danger, over demons, over disease, and even death. And now, as an insightful discipler, He transfers some of that responsibility to them. It's time for them to put into practice what He has been teaching them by word and by an example. Now, was it because He looked and thought, man, I have got the 12 guys. These guys can do anything. I'll turn it over to them. These guys were a bunch of buffoons, man. These guys were like us. These guys were regular people. These guys were ones who struggled. These guys were ones who feared. These were guys who doubted. These are guys who were afraid. They're guys that the Lord Jesus had called. And now He was sending them, not because of who they were, but because of who He is. And so He commissions them to go out. Think about their disability. Their disability. Their lack of adequate power, strength, or ability. That's the dictionary definition of disability. Their incapacity. We think of a disability often as the inability to do a particular job, and so we're declared disabled and we receive compensation from insurance or the government for that. And that's disability. That's an inability to do what you need to do, what you're supposed to do. And that's the fact with these fellas. They in themselves did not have the adequate power. They were incapable of going out and preaching effectively and healing. There was no way they could do that. And to make it more difficult, what did the Lord Jesus say? say, don't take anything. Don't take any money. Don't take your bag so you can store up anything. Don't even take your walking stick. Don't take an extra undergarment. No, none of that. What was he saying? You go out trusting. You go out in faith. You go out because it's not about you. It's not about what you have. It's not about what you can do. It's not about who you think you are or what level you think you've achieved. No, it's not about that. Notice there in verse 1 what it says. He called his 12 disciples together and gave them. He gave it to them. It was from him. It wasn't theirs. It wasn't because they earned it. He gave it to them as a gift. And notice what he gave to them. Two things. Power and authority. Ability and authority. Might and right. He gave them that. Now he didn't give them power over danger. They couldn't calm the waves and couldn't calm the wind. He didn't give them power over death. They couldn't raise anybody back to life. But he had a specific responsibility for them. They were to go and to preach, and they were to go and to heal. And so he gave them what they needed for the responsibilities that he had for them. He supplied their every need. And over in, when we get to Luke 22 in verse 35, we will see these same disciples testifying that when they went out, they lacked nothing. You see, they had to trust him. They had to go forward in faith. Let's move down for a minute here to another conflict about their disability. Verse 10, we'll come back and catch 7 to 9 in a minute. Go down to verse 10. And the apostles, when they had returned, so they come back from their ministry tour. They returned. They told him all that had been done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." Here comes the conflict. But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by him." So imagine that. 5,000 men plus maybe women and children, we don't know. At least one little boy was there, we read in another gospel account. But these were just the males, the men. And they're all listening to the Lord Jesus speak about the kingdom of God. They're watching him heal. Some of them are being healed. And the disciples, aren't they helpful? Telling the Lord Jesus, who knows everything, "Hey, Lord, Jesus is getting kind of late. We better send these people away." Like they got to keep on top of his agenda, itinerary to help him out. They were out in the middle of nowhere. The Lord Jesus had brought his disciples there to have a little R&R time with them and to minister to them. All the people followed them out there, and now there's nowhere to get anything to eat. No restaurants, no inns, no places to get a meal, no houses around to go bum food off of. They've got to go, the disciples say. But the Lord Jesus looks to his disciples and he said, "You give them something to eat." The disciples, what? There's 5,000 men here. We've got 5 loaves of barley bread, and I doubt they were real big loaves, and 2 fish. What are we supposed to do? We're not able. There you go. Now you figured it out. You're incapable. You can't do it. That's the point. And the point is not to try to convince the Lord Jesus to send these people away. The point is to trust him. to enable you to do what He has commanded you to do. So what does He do? He takes the 5 loaves. He takes the 2 fish. He blesses them. And He begins to break them apart and give them to the disciples. He had the people sit down. Seat them in groups of 50. You don't have to be a math major. That's 100 groups of 50. I don't know about you. To me, 100 groups of 50 seems like more than 5,000. Same number, but it seems bigger. 100 groups of 50. And they're feeding. They're just passing it out. Keep on passing it out. It's going, it's going, it's going. The disciples had to step out in faith. They could have said, Lord, I'm not going to get beat up by that guy in group number 1 when I run out of food right before him. Don't expect me to take this little bit of food you're breaking off. And it kept coming. You see, they had to step out in faith. They had to do what He told them to do. And He provided. He had told them, you give them something to eat. But He didn't say, you give them something to eat and then leave them on their own, did He? No, He gave them what they needed to give someone else. Guess what He's going to do for you? Guess what He's going to do for you? If He tells you to do something, and you say, I can't do that. I am disabled. I can't take on this task. I am inadequate. Lord, do you understand the spouse I'm living with? Lord, do you know about my child and my grandchild and what's going on in the home? Do you understand? Do you realize what kind of parents or parent I have? Do you understand the job that you've given me and you want me to be a witness on this job? You want me to be a witness in my home? You want me to love my wife as Christ loved the church? You want me to submit to my husband as unto the Lord? You want me to obey my parents and the Lord, for this is right? You want me to raise these children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? You want me to do everything for your glory? Lord, do you understand how inadequate I am? Do you understand how scary this ministry opportunity is? Lord, I know there's a need there. And yes, Lord, I sense that you've given me a burden about it. But Lord, there is no way I can do that. Lord, I'm not an evangelist. What do you mean I'm supposed to go and preach the gospel? Lord, I'm not a touchy-feely guy. What do you mean I'm supposed to go and to minister to those who are in need, to those who are hurting? Lord, I don't have much money. What do you mean I have a responsibility to be a part of meeting the material needs of others? Lord, you don't understand. What do you mean I'm supposed to forgive them as you've forgiven me? Do you know what they did? Do you know what they'll do if I forgive them? Lord, what do you mean I'm to love my brothers and sisters in Christ as you have loved me? Lord, look at my life. Look how busy I am. What do you mean seek first the kingdom of God? You ever said anything like any of those? Do the commands of the Lord Jesus overwhelm you because of your own inadequacy? Well, you're at step one. But then we've got to realize that He is the one who is adequate. Years ago, I remember sitting in the Lord's Supper at the end, and I think it was Brother Dick Andrews was sharing the announcements, and he read a card from a lady who had been sick, and some folks in the assembly had ministered to her. And I don't know if she wrote it or it was just what the card writer had written, but I've always remembered this simple little phrase, where God guides, He always provides. And when God guides you to do something, I don't care how difficult you think it may be, how impossible you think it may be. You can't change another person, but you can be obedient. Because if you will step out in faith, God will do the work. The Lord Jesus, who has power over disability, will give you what you need, not only materially, but also the ability and the authority to do what seems impossible, because it's not about you anyway, it's Him. And maybe you've tried and maybe you've failed. But try again. It was interesting in chapter 9 and verse 5. I don't know if you noticed there, but the Lord Jesus, when He sent them out with nothing, He said, you go into a town, and when you're received in a home, you go to that home and you stay there. But if you're not received, wow. I don't have to go any further than that to scratch my head. Now, just a minute. Lord, you're sending us. You're giving us the ability and the authority. And you mean there are people who are not going to receive us? There are people going to reject the message? Lord, I don't understand that. No, there are people that are going to reject the message. There are many people that are going to reject the message. But that doesn't absolve me of the responsibility to be obedient. They rejected the Lord Jesus. They rejected His message. They rejected His person. You know, the Lord Jesus doesn't look down this morning and say, what a talented group of people. He looks down and says, what a disabled group of people. Through whose lives I am going to show my mighty power by the Holy Spirit living in them. I have gifted them. I'm going to enable them to do what I am sending them to do. 1 Corinthians 1, Paul tells the believers in Corinth, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised. God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. The glory is all His. Those disciples, all they did was give out food. Nobody was going to say, hey, wow, Peter, you are quite the food distributor. No, the glory went to the Lord Jesus. He's the one with the power over disability. He's the one that sent them out. He's the one that deserves the worship and the praise and the adoration. The glory is all His. So can I encourage you as we close this morning to step into ministry by faith in the one who empowers, not because you're good enough, not because you're talented enough, not because you think you're ready, but because the Lord Jesus has sent you. He's commissioned you. And where He guides, He will always provide. He will enable you. Very quickly, we've got 30 seconds here, so we're gonna move on. And I'm going to give you some practical. I was talking with a brother this week, and we were talking about some of these things and seeking to apply it to his life. And he said, how do I do that? And I thought, I'm glad you asked that question. Made me think about that. Somebody might ask that Sunday morning. How do you do it? Very simply. A couple A's. It's not that simple, but here it is. I'll try to make it clear. First of all, acknowledge your disability. Lord, I cannot do this. And if you think you can do it, then you need to step back and examine yourself. Because it's not just doing it. It's not just me getting up here and preaching a message that is what God has called me to do. No, He's called me to preach a message that He can use in the lives of the hearers. I can preach a message, but I need to acknowledge my disability. I can't do the work in the heart that needs to be done. So acknowledge my disability, and then next, acknowledge His power over my disability. Lord, thank You that You are able to take a foolish, weak, poor, base person and do anything. Minister to anybody. That's the Lord. Tell Him that. Acknowledge that to Him. Next, very simply, not very simply, very straightforward, allow Him to direct and control your life. Yield it all over to Him. The Holy Spirit, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you've received Christ as your Savior and been forgiven of your sins, now that's a big if, maybe. But if it's true of you and you've received Him and your faith is in Jesus Christ alone for salvation from your sins, and you've been made a new creation in Christ, then the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. Let go. Let go. And allow Him to direct. Allow Him to guide, and then allow Him to provide. Let me encourage you with another A. Abide in Him. Stay connected to the power source. Don't try to do the work of God without the Word of God. Don't try to go out into ministry without being in the manual. Don't do that. Be in the Word of God every day. How many days this past week, don't raise your hands and fingers, how many days this past week were you in the Word of God? I want to challenge you to be in the Word more, either more days or more time in the day. If you see the need for the power of God, He'll provide it for you. He'll do that. Be with Him in prayer. Think on Him. Have some things that will key your mind to think back to the Lord Jesus. Maybe it's a red light down the road. Maybe it's something at work that you see every day multiple times. Maybe it's something in your home that you pass by. And I'll say, every time I see that, every time I look at my watch, I'm going to think about the Lord Jesus. I'm going to think about Him and who He is and what He wants me to do. And I'm going to realize again that He is the one who has power over my disability. And then finally, advance by faith in Him. Step out in faith. Don't wait until you feel like, okay, Lord, I'm waiting. Lord, push me out there. I'll go. Soon as I see the green light, Lord, get... No, if you believe God's called you to do it, you go ahead and do it. You step out and do it. And you trust Him. Trust His faithfulness as you step out in faith. We'll pick up, we'll go back and catch those other verses and move on down next time. But for today, we're just going to stop with that. We're going to stop with that. This man. Who is this man? Who is this man? This is the Lord Jesus. And we're going to see, as we get down to verse 20, that He is the Christ of God. It's the Christ of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this man. We thank You for giving us Your Word. We think about people in the world today who have never seen a copy of even one verse. Lord, they have never heard any scripture, any words from Your mouth. Father, they have creation, and we praise You for that, that there they see Your glory, and they see, Father, Your eternal power and Godhead. But Lord, they've never heard Your Word, and we sit here, just about every one of us has a copy of Your Word in our possession this morning. We all have access. Lord, help us to listen to Your Word. Help us to listen to Your Son. Father, by Your Spirit, just convict our hearts and remind us that He is the one who has all power. He has all ability. He has all authority. Thank You so much for taking weak vessels. And Father, thank You for using us for Your glory. Help us to step out in faith. Help us to patiently trust. Lord, I thank You for everyone here this morning. You know their needs. Do Your work in their hearts by Your Spirit through Your Word. And we pray that You'd be glorified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.